You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
When Danny Bacevich got hooked on pool as a teenager, he dropped out of high school to play and soon became a legendary road hustler known as Kid Delicious. Sports Illustrated's L. John Wertheim has written a new book about Danny's life and the people he played in pool halls around the country with. It's called Running the Table, The Legend of Kid Delicious, The Last Great American Pool Hustler. It's published by Houghton Mifflin, and I'm very pleased that it has brought both Danny Bacevich and L. John Wertheimer to the show today. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi there.
So, John, is Danny a typical pool hustler?
Every pool hustler is a little on the heavy side. Bipolar, never been in a fight. And his parents actually encouraged him to hustle. No. Danny is extraordinarily atypical, as I'm sure we'll learn, which was part of what drew me to the story.
Well, how does pool hustling work? I'm going to ask you first because you can give us the objective view.
Well, I mean, pool hustling, as I write, has sort of become this dying art where it's harder and harder for a variety of reasons, not least the internet. There's still gambling on pool, but this art of sort of setting the trap and setting people up, it's really this elaborate choreography that seems to be dying. And Danny had really mastered that. He'd sort of used his appearance and his personality, which was so atypical, to his advantage.
And why is the internet a problem? Is it making you too famous?
For sure. It's too many people find out too much about when you make a win, when you win some money in a location. Everyone's able to find out in one day how well you did, what you look like, and you're not able to sneak around as easy or as quick as you'd like to.
Do you have a Wikipedia entry?
He does.
Yeah, for sure.
How did you get the nickname Kid Delicious?
I I'm 29 years old, and about 12 years ago when I was about 17, me and a few friends of mine took a ride to Chelsea Billiards off of 21st and 6th Street over there by the Village. And there was an upcoming player there, a little skinny guy, about 100 pounds, and he was the best player in that pool room, which is a famous pool room for big-time gambling, 24/7 smoky pool room, you know, what you would think a real pool room would be. And we played. I had like $4,200 to my name. And at the time, I was a little bit crazier and young at the time, and I was very confident with my game. And I walked in the pool room, and I ended up betting every penny I had. I had no money left for tolls. I bet like $2,000 with a kid named Kid Vicious. And I ended up beating him out of the money. And some people were joking between me being a heavyset kid. And they were making fun of me, I think, more than anything. And they were like, Kid Vicious just got beat by Kid Delicious.
And then that just stuck.
Yeah.
And you heard about Danny when?
Well, the story is about 3 years ago, I was reading a Wall Street Journal account of a pool tournament in Grand Central Station, and they sort of, in passing, mentioned that there was a heavy-set hustler named Kid Delicious who made a six-figure income hustling the previous year. And then they went on, you know, Leonard Lopate then beat whoever, you know, to Linda Wertheimer in the final, and they sort of went on to talk about the rest of the tournament. I said,
Linda's a much better pool player than I am.
I heard that. She's good. But no, I mean, I didn't care who won this tournament. I said, I got to find out about this guy who made a six-figure income hustling.
And then that became a Sports Illustrated article. And when did you decide to expand it into a book?
Well, the story I tell is I went down to see Danny, and, you know, I wasn't sure what to expect. And coming home, my editor sort of said, how did it go? And I spent about 6 hours, and he's got this treasure trove of stories, and he hit trick shots and showed me some hustles, and my editor's, you know, you think there's a story in there, and I sort of said, you could say that. I wrote this story at fairly large length, and I still felt as though I had 80% of my material on the floor, so I said, I need to dilate this.
Danny, what was your life like before you dropped out of high school?
At that age, you know, around 13 and 14 years old, I was coping with a lot of depression.
So you felt you were behind the eight ball, so to speak?
Big time. My life was behind the eight ball for sure. And I was having a lot of time enjoying life. And I had a hard time getting around and enjoying my time with anybody. And I just wasn't able to find the enjoyment of life. And school was not fun at all for me. I just didn't seem to fit in with everybody.
So you were bipolar.
Sure.
And pool was an escape?
Sure, pool was as good as any drug that a doctor could have given to me. As soon as I walked in a pool room locally that opened up, it was a big escape for me, and I found that zone and that good feeling, which made me the happiest guy in the world. I had a big smile on as soon as I started to play.
And they let you play at such a young age?
Sure, they didn't want you there at night, but during the day I was allowed to come in the pool room.
And did you, what were you learning, how to play pool well or learning how to hustle very early?
Well, in the beginning, I never wanted to be a hustler or anything like that. I seen it on TV, and I just wanted to be the best player in the world. Even when I first started playing, my dream was to be good, like the guys I've seen on ESPN.
John, what's the difference between playing a good game of pool and being a good pool hustler?
Well, a lot of it's in your demeanor. You certainly need to achieve a certain level of confidence before you can hustle, but part of what made Danny so good is that he could do this sort of method acting. He could, one of his hustles, he'll tell you, but one of his hustles was he would go to a college and slather cake and fudge on his face and then go play, so they thought he was some clumsy freshman, and then when the stakes got sufficiently high, then he would run the table. Part of it is excellence, and this, we're talking about a world-class pool player. I think we should be clear about that, but another part of it, too.
But you don't have to be the greatest pool player in the world. You just have to be a lot better than the people you're playing against.
Right, and you have to be able to sort of read the situation, and that's really where he excelled.
Is this completely legal? We're talking about gambling and fooling people and manipulating a situation.
It's a gray area, but a lot of states, I looked into this, actually. A lot of states, we sort of leave that IRS element out of this, but as for gambling itself, it seems as though if you're gambling on basically head-to-head competition, paramutual, if there isn't the house getting, if you're not running a mini casino here, but it's head-to-head competition, it is legal in most states.
My guests are Kid Delicious and John L. Wertheimer. The book about Kid Delicious is called Running the Table, The Legend of Kid Delicious, the Last Great American Pool Hustler. Well, I'm not sure whether you're going to be the last great one, but so far you are. You talked about that pool hall that opened in your neighborhood. Is that where you learned how to be a hustler? Is that where you met Bob Beggy, known as Bristol Bob?
I met the great Bristol Bob, actually, in Connecticut.
Ah.
What happened was is I played pool in New Jersey till I was about 17 years old. And at the time, I was about the best pool player in New Jersey, and I wanted to become a professional. And all the old players and guys like Neptune, Joe Frady, and Mark the Shark, and guys like that, guys like Blood, these are famous, really good pool players that have lived a life. And they all told me that there's not a lot of money playing in the professional tournaments, that the purses are only about $5,000 or $10,000 for first place. And I'd have to kill myself through a 7-day event, fade $2,000 in expenses, and even if I win the whole tournament, I might only triple my money that I spent. So a bunch of them guys convinced me that I better do some traveling and get in the middle of the gambling scene, and I believed all them. And one of them, Neptune Joe, told me to take a ride up to West Haven, Connecticut, where I met Bristol Bob up there in Chicago Billiards over there.
And you became partners. Now, John, do hustlers tend to work in partnerships?
Well, in this case, it was one of these great sort of yin-yang relationships where his partner, his road partner, Bristol Bob, is this sort of Tom Cruise lookalike who's very intense, and he'd do push-ups in between games. It was sort of everything Danny wasn't and vice versa, and they really played off each other.
So people didn't realize that you were even friends?
Sometimes, most of the time they did, but sometimes people would think something like that.
Because you said, because you used to have a hustle called Two Strangers.
Yeah, the real Two Strangers is where, like, one guy would come in the pool hours later and then, like, beat you.
Mm-hmm.
Which me and Bob never wanted to do, because that would be totally, like, doing something totally wrong. And even though I was a pool hustler, I never really wanted to totally cheat anybody. I'm not going to lie, I've kept a lot of matches close and to make you bet higher. But really, there was one situation where Bristol Bob was in Columbia, South Carolina, which you're going to get to read in the book and also in the movie. with Lionsgate Productions, we're hoping to come out next year, is Bristol Bob was getting in a big argument with a couple hillbillies down, a couple nice hillbillies. They're great guys in Columbia, South Carolina. And Bob was a little bit of a hard head. I told him if these guys argue with you about the score, you know, like one guy, the score was like 5-2, Bob. And Bob lost the game, and instead of it being 5-3, all of a sudden the score was 5-5. And the guy cheated. The guy moved the beads for the mm-hmm. score. And I told Bob, don't worry about it. Just let the guy cheat you. You're going to beat him anyway. Bob was could have beat the guy one-handed behind his back. But Bob was very hard-headed, and he refused to give in, where that was one thing I've always been good at, is I would give in and let and win anyway. And he was in such a big argument with the guy. There was like 20 guys in the room, and they all wanted to kill us. And sure enough, me never being in a fight in my life, and Bob weighing 130 pounds soaking wet, I wasn't looking to get killed there. And I ran up to Bob, slapped him in his face, threw him on the floor, said, what are you doing? You stole that $2,000 out of my pocket. What'd you do with it? And I picked him up off the floor and like threw him against the wall, and we pretty much just got out of there as quick as possible, and they didn't know what to do
well,
with us after that.
You were in some other dangerous situations. You once took $20,000 from some mobsters in Philadelphia.
Sure. It was.
You weren't scared at all?
I'll be honest with you. The more money I was winning, it actually got more scary. Like in the beginning, for some reason, I wasn't as scared or as worried. But as I started to win more and more money, and that number went from thousands to tens of thousands, that's when it seemed to start to get a little more worry about whether I was going to get out alive or not.
John Kidd talked about a movie. So they're going to do a movie based on this book? Are you writing the script?
I did actually get a chance to write the script. I think the euphemism is in development, but we're optimistic.
Any idea of who would play Danny? He's not exactly. Danny is overweight. In fact,
right.
I wonder about playing pool overweight. But are there any movie stars?
They had mentioned Dan Fogler, who I think got that Tony for the Putnam County Spelling Bee. You're right. I mean, there were sort of a finite number of actors who could pull this off.
They've mentioned also Jack Black possibly playing Kid Delicious in the movie also.
Now, you have a weight problem. Isn't that a problem sometimes in getting close to the table for a difficult shot or just standing for so many hours?
You're absolutely right. And there's been many times where I've been in big money games where players would try to play me long periods of time to wear me out, wear the big guy down. And I'll tell you, being a 300-pound, you know, 5'9 American boy, I've been very lucky to be an athlete. I've always played a lot of tennis and baseball. And I'm actually a pretty damn good athlete, even being at a heavy, even as heavy as I am, and people don't realize it.
How did you deal with your depression when you were on the road?
I'll tell you, for some years, I mean, I dealt with it from between gambling. Gambling was one of the biggest things that I was able to do. Like I won a bunch of money on the road. Like I won about $500,000. Gambling on the road over about like a 5 or 6 year period. But I lost most of that money having a good time going to strip clubs and chasing women and going to casinos. I'm not going to lie. I've had a lot of good times, but I've blown a lot of that money because of depression and, you know, getting stuck in them places all night long.
You also had the help of a guy named Greg Smith, didn't you? The so-called pool detective?
Yeah, I owe him a lot. Because when I was young and dumb and trying to beat every pool player there was, I was just going into every pool room and looking for the best pool player there was. And I met him on one of my first trips with Bristol Bob. We were on a 6-month extravaganza, and we were at a pool tournament in Indiana. And at the time, I was trying to stay unknown, so I refused to play in the tournament. And there was about 100 pool players there from all the surrounding states. And Greg Smith, 007 in the book, was hanging around there, and he had noticed what I was doing, that I was hiding in the corners and keeping an eye on certain guys and trying to set up money games. And he pulls me to the side and pulls this book out that's about like 10 inches high with all kind of pool halls, pool players' names, how much they bet, where they work, phone numbers, addresses. And he told me, hey, kid, this is the golden right here. You know, this is going to make you $1 million. And I'm going to send you to a spot right here.
So it was all the suckers that you could beat and take money from.
Sure.
And he took a cut?
Yep. He took like about a 20% cut.
Just one more thing because we've run out of time. You split from Bristol Bob. Why?
Just after about 4 years, he ended up going back to college and settling down with his girlfriend in Philadelphia.
Have you ever gotten a high school diploma?
Yep. I actually got a high school diploma when I was 16 years old at Old Bridge Adult High School.
In between hustling.
Sure. And I actually did 4 months in college at 16 at at Brookdale Community College.
I want to thank you both so much for being with us. L. John Wertheim is the author of Running the Table, The Legend of Kid Delicious, The Last Great American Pool Hustler. And he's been here along with Kid Delicious himself, Danny Basevich. Thank you both so much.
Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.